Hello from Bear and Kura, a podcast from the Land of Oz Information Services. I love you, Kura.
I love you, Bear.
This is episode 102 of the Bear and Kura podcast. We're going to talk about our favorite recipes.
Okay, the first one is up to you because you're the one who makes this all the time. How do you make macaroni and cheese?
Well, we're going to lose all of our listeners on this episode on the very first question.
Why? Because they're going to say...
Because I can cook anything that comes out of a can or a box.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best macaroni and cheese is Kraft macaroni and cheese. And everybody out there has their secret family recipe that's oh so the best.
And you don't like it?
And no, I think Kraft macaroni and cheese is cheesier than cheese.
Mm. And then you add cheese to it, too.
Well, that's just to kind of make it creamier.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, like my mom, she makes really good macaroni and cheese. But you do make really good macaroni and cheese. But you do make it different. You don't just do it right out of the box. You do add cheese to it and stuff like that. But I don't know. I enjoy it. I've grown to like it. So... But what do you do special to? You just like it the way it is in the box?
I find it's best to follow the directions exactly.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
See, I don't know. I guess I ate a lot of it in college where we spoofed it up. Or we didn't spoof it up, but we didn't always have milk, so we used water or something like
Yuck.
That. Yeah, well, you do what you got to do when you're in college and you're broke. It's that or ramen noodles.
Powdered milk isn't that expensive.
I don't think I've ever touched or powdered milk has gone through these lips. It's just like...
Little do you know.
Yeah, well, you probably snuck it in on things, yeah. like powdered mashed potatoes. I'd rather have normal mashed potatoes, but we can get into that later.
Mm. So. How do you make fried chicken?
How do I make fried chicken?
Mm-hmm.
With panko, Old Bay seasoning, just other, like, ground garlic, flour, egg. Just basically what I do is get the chicken tenders or chicken breast, douse it in, go clean and wash it off with water, douse it in flour, then egg, and then I put it in the panko mix and then fry it.
Do you double dip it?
Mm-mm. Generally, I don't.
So the panko is crunchy enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you seem to like the fried chicken that I make, don't you?
Yeah, but boy, is it a mess.
And it smells up the house.
And I don't like cleaning up afterwards.
Because of all the fried grease and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's good. I enjoy it, but it's a lot of work to do. And yeah, you seem like everything seems to be layered in grease after that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a few candles lit, too, because... It does smell up the kitchen, but we haven't had that in a long time, so it does sound kind of good.
Well, just to say something about us, we have had lots of fried chicken. You just haven't made any.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So.
But better to let the Colonel make it.
Yeah, it's easier. You don't have to do any of the mess and you just leave, so. But, yeah, and this city's not short of fried chicken places.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's actually a new one coming into town called Keene's. That's supposed to be fast food chicken. That's supposed to be really good.
Are they paying us to advertise for them?
No, I'm sorry. I guess I shouldn't have done that. But they're going to be on the west side. So, but that's just an idea. How do you cook a pork roast?
We did this just the other day. Probably why I thought of it to put on the list. The best way to cook pork roast is in a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
It when the pressure builds up, it pushes the flavor down into the food.
Yeah.
So in half an hour, you can have a roast that tastes like you cooked it all afternoon long.
Yeah. Yeah, we had that. It was good the other day. It kept the warm lemon garlic flavor that is supposed to be there that normally cooks off. So it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we normally put red potatoes in there.
Yeah, because no other kind of potatoes will hold up in a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
You'll end up with mashed potatoes.
Yeah. And then we generally do carrots, celery.
Mm-hmm, whatever.
whatever we can find generally.
I think last time we just did potatoes.
Just potatoes, yeah. We kind of did that last second, though, which was great. I mean, because a lot of people put it in a slow cooker, and that would take 6 hours at least. And, like, we decided to do the pork roast, and what, at 3:30 in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. And then
had it at 6.
Had it at 6, so, yeah, but the pressure cooker makes it a lot quicker, so.
Yeah. And for people who are scared of pressure cookers, it's not your grandmother's old pressure cooker with the screws on the ends that you... pressure cookers now, they're computerized. You set the temperature and the pressure level, and it has a valve. There's just really no way that a modern pressure cooker could blow up on you like your grandma's did.
Unless you rig it to do so. That's what they did to the Boston Marathon.
Well, they used them as casements, but
yeah.
They didn't...
You actually just plug it in and use it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was really good. And now we have leftovers in the refrigerator, and I might have that later on. So,
how do you prepare a bagel?
Just toast it. It's the best way to do it. Just put it on more medium toast, and where it doesn't get burnt.
Do you have to have a toaster with a bagel setting? Do you use the bagel setting?
I'd use it, but I don't think it's necessary.
I think the bagel setting only toasts on the inside.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
It could be it, but yeah. And you know me, I do eat quite a bit of bagels.
You sure do.
Favorite thing is an everything bagel.
I tend to turn the kitchen exhaust fan on when you do, because those everything bagels stink up the house when you put them in the toaster.
Tell me how you really feel.
But you make it into a sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. I generally put a ham or turkey and Swiss cheese, depending upon the cheese that's on sale. But most of the time, Swiss cheese and ham. And then the secret recipe that I put in is Montreal steak seasoning, which is really good. Just sprinkle a little bit of that on there, and it makes it really good. See, I'm plugging other things.
I did not know that.
Yeah, other items that I plug inadvertently. But, yeah.
I very rarely eat a bagel, and when I do, it's just with cream cheese.
Yeah, well, that's why I keep them in the house, because I will have them with cream cheese.
So. Oh, so it's something you know I won't eat.
No, I don't do that on purpose. I know you do. I know there's things that you get on purpose that I won't touch. So, jerk. I'm the one that goes to the grocery store and says, do you want this kind of ice cream? No, no. And the next thing I find, 10 o'clock at night, you're in here eating right out of the pail with a spoon. So, welcome to our world, everybody. Okay, this is something that I don't touch. So, what about frozen fish and shrimp? The fish
something that you won't eat.
The shrimp I won't touch, you know that. you can have that till the cows come home.
The best way to have battered frozen fish and shrimp is in a...
Go to Long John Silver's.
That, yes. But in an air fryer.
Yeah.
We probably couldn't cook food if we didn't have a microwave or a pressure cooker or an air fryer.
Probably. Yeah, we're not chefs by any means.
Mm-mm. Like I said, I can cook anything that comes out of a can or a box.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're good about timing everything out, too. Like, if we have multiple items.
It's not that hard.
I'm terrible at it.
You just have to think ahead.
I try to think ahead, and it never worked out. One thing will be inadvertently cold. So.
How do you make mashed potatoes?
Easy. Do you want the step-by-step, or just... Basically, boil the potatoes from cold water, clean them, put them in there, boil them up from cold, and then just after they're done, they're fork tender and they float, they're rolling, boil, take them out, strain them, use a lot of butter, a lot of fresh or minced garlic, and milk, and just...
I thought you put cream cheese in.
And I put a stick of cream cheese in there too, yeah. And then basically just, I don't measure anything, just wait and mash it up until it's kind of whipped, and then there you go.
That sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of labor, but it's really good when we do make them. See, I haven't made those in a while. And they're easy
to make. You should make that one day and then make the fried chicken the next.
Yeah. But that's just an easy way to do it. I just kind of learned how to do that on my own. I don't think I ever watched my mom. My mom always used to use beaters to whip the mashed potatoes. I remember that as a little kid, but just keep adding milk until it's.
I think soft that's and something you could probably do in a pressure cooker.
Probably with the potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's an easy way to do it, and it's good. I think you enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're kind of garlic mashed potatoes, garlic cream cheese mashed potatoes. So the trick is to get a lot of garlic and a lot of cream cheese.
More than potatoes?
No. The potatoes are the most. And basically get a whole pound or a whole bag, 5 pound bag of mashed potatoes. So, but I know when I make it, I eat a ton of them. So.
And I think they freeze okay.
They freeze pretty good. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's pretty easy. Sorry, there's no real secret to it. It's got to take your time. The longest part is waiting for the potatoes come to a boil, because you have to do it from a cold. I don't know why. I just read that somewhere. But you can't have the boil. You have to have from a cold pot of water into a boiling water.
That's where I think a pressure cooker would go much faster.
Probably. I mean, it doesn't take that much longer. Maybe an extra 20 minutes. But it's not that bad. I like the way we do it right now, so I don't think I'll change it in the future.
I like gravy on my mashed potatoes, and you won't make gravy.
I don't know how to make gravy. So I know you buy the can or the jarred gravy.
Sometimes.
So how is that gravy?
It's okay.
Is it? So, yeah.
It's not that hard to make gravy.
Yeah, it's like just
flour and lard.
It's a roux, pretty much. But I think I'd make it clumpy if I did do it. I think I'd whisk in the flour quick enough or something. So, but yeah, I'm not a big gravy person. Gravy's not that big on the East Coast where I grew up, so. But you, I think you would eat gravy on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, how do you cook fried rice?
The secret to cooking fried rice is to have a rice cooker first and cook the rice the day before, leave it in the refrigerator overnight, and then cook that fried rice.
Okay.
Fry that rice. That's where it makes it kind of tough to have fried rice sort of spontaneously, because you've got to prepare the day ahead.
Yeah. We haven't done that in a while.
We haven't. It also requires eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And some other things. And we don't usually keep eggs in the house, because we just don't cook enough stuff with eggs to make it worth it.
They seem to spoil when we throw them out. Mm-hmm. Before we can use them all.
Mm-hmm. But you pretty much just take the cold rice, put it in the fryer with some butter, probably a whole stick of butter.
Yeah.
Start frying, and then you make a little, like, pond in the middle of it, and you put your eggs in there and let them kind of scramble, and just keep stirring and shaking and...
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can add other things. You can add chicken or shrimp or whatever you want in with it. But I think generally when we make fried rice, it's just plain fried rice, because we can't agree on what
kind of chicken to use.
Well, what to eat with it.
Yeah, that's you're right. I think we've made sweet and sour chicken before, haven't we?
I don't think so.
Oh,
maybe a frozen dinner.
No, I think we went to the Oriental Museum, the Oriental grocery store, and bought the sweet and sour powder, or basically the batter that you mix. Yeah, we did do that, or it was orange chicken.
Oh, I do remember that. And the batter that the stuff for the batter that we got was bad. It tasted like formaldehyde or something. Yeah. That's the problem with buying from an Oriental market, I guess.
Yeah.
You don't really know what you're getting.
Yeah. It's not like we can read it.
Yeah.
I remember trying to find it in the store, and we couldn't find anything, because it's all...
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it did taste kind of funny, and then I remember, because it was an orange chicken, because it then came with, like, a powdered for the orange sauce, and that was very watered down, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, it wasn't very good. So we haven't done it since.
No.
But, okay. Have you ever baked a cake?
Never.
Neither have I.
Don't plan to either.
It's too easy to go buy one already made.
Yeah, just go to the grocery store, to the bakery, and get one that whatever flavor you want, whatever frosting you want.
Yeah. I mean, homemade cake is good. Like a homemade carrot cake, I would die for. I love homemade carrot cake. But it is much easier to just go to the local grocery store and pick it up.
Mm-hmm. We don't usually have the eggs, so even if we had a mix.
And I don't bake. I know it's an exact science and stuff like that. I don't have the patience for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, plus, we don't have a stove that works, so it's kind of hard to bake on a...
We have a stove, but we don't have an oven that
an
works.
An oven, that's right. So, then people are probably like, that's why you don't cook at home, because you don't have a stove that works. Yeah, we don't have an oven that works, so... But, and it's, I don't like cake that much to go through all the hassle. I mean, cake's okay.
I don't know what kind of hassle it is. I don't think I've ever even tried to make one.
Well, it's just, but I mean, it's okay. Where, you know what I mean? I never get, like, crave, I need cake. It's, so if I want a piece of cake, it's normally at, like, a birthday or at your mom's house for dinner. You know, she loves having cake or pie. But I don't... I never sit there and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a piece of cake. You know, it's more of an afterthought, so I never have the urge to ever... I've never had the urge to cook one in my life.
Me neither.
So, you know, we've baked cookies before, but the...
If you call it slicing them out of a package and putting them in the oven.
Some of them are already pre-cut.
I've tried to find... pre-made cookie dough balls.
Frozen.
Because we could put that in the air fryer and make just one cookie if you wanted.
Mm.
But I can't find them anywhere. The best you can find is the sheets of cookies that are in squares that you break off.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta eat those. And
yeah, you gotta make the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we looked for those for a while. We didn't find any. Mm-mm. Did you ever look online?
I don't want to order frozen stuff online.
Oh, yeah, I know, but maybe it might give you an idea where you might be able to find some.
What food have you always wanted to try making?
Cake. Nothing really. I mean, everything that I've ever wanted to make myself, I've tried. I mean, I like homemade baked chicken. Like when we used to get the whole chicken and cook them. I like doing that.
Well, we stopped doing that because the price of a uncooked chicken and the price of a rotisserie cooked chicken is the same.
Yeah.
So why go to the bother of cooking it when they will cook it for you?
Yeah, well, I know. I know the reason why we stopped. But no, I mean, there's really... I mean, anything that I used to see on TV, I would try. Try it out and use you as a guinea pig. So, I mean... I've had some failures. I've had some good things, but like, you'll eat anything as long as you don't have to cook it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you'll never tell me that it's good or bad. I mean, I can tell if you like it, you'll tell me not to touch it. That's the worst thing you ever had, and it means you like it. Now, if you just shut up and you just eat it, means you hate it, and you're never going to touch it again.
Well, if it's good, I really need to discourage you from eating too much of it, because then there'll be more for me.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't work. I've already got you figured out. So, is there anything you wanted to ever try cooking? Try making?
I've never made, I want to say pot pie, but that's not, where you have a big bowl with a sterno under it in broth, and you have thinly sliced beef and vegetables, and you cook it in a...
Like a hot pot?
Yeah, a hot pot. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah, that's...
We have one, but I've never used it.
Maybe that's something we should try one day.
We have a wok, too, but I don't want to get it down. It's just as easy to make it in a big fry pan.
Yeah. So, yeah, that sounds good, though. One thing we haven't had in a while that I've made is shepherd's pie. But that's a lot of work, too.
I guess that would be one way of getting rid of all the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, since I make a 5-pound bag of it. But I don't make it like with lamb, because lamb's too hard to find. Generally around here, seems to be.
Hmm.
So, but else, yeah, that sounds pretty good, actually. Shepherd's pie, but...
Guess we're going to the grocery store after this.
No, it's just that I'm hungry. That the last time I ate was like 7 o'clock this morning. I had a bowl of cereal, and it's noon now, so I'm kind of hungry. So I imagine you're probably getting hungry, too.
I suppose, yeah.
Especially with all this talk of food. Well, this was a short episode. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
There's nothing else in the world to talk about.
Oh, there is, but I don't think it's appropriate at the time. So, do you have a favorite joke this week?
What is the difference between bagpipes and an onion?
I have no idea what's the difference between... They both make... onion makes you cry? Or they both make you cry?
People cry when they cut an onion.
That's pretty good. That's okay. I like bagpipes, though. All right.
We hope you enjoyed episode 102 of the Bear and Kura podcast. This is Bear.
This is Kura.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to the Bear and Kura podcast, a production of the Land of Oz Information Services. We can be contacted via email using the address podcast@oz.com. And Oz is spelled A-W-E-S.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network.
Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.